Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1? I got tickled last night with Brother Bronk. He covered a passage, he covered a chapter that I have always enjoyed. And it has to do when Jesus was going to feed, I think, the 4,000 or the 5,000. And so he asked them, he asked his disciples, how are we going to handle this? And they said, how are we going to feed so many? We don't have any provisions. And then Simon Peter looks around, and he sees this little boy who bought his lunch. And I can just see Simon Peter grabbing this little boy, dragging him to Jesus, and says, we can eat his food. I've always had that picture in my mind. They're going to take this little boy's food, and Peter said, we can use his food. Then ask permission. Then ask him if it was okay. He just identified him. We're going to eat his food. And the amazing thing for me is, evidently, he was the only one who planned to eat that day. Because everybody else didn't have any food, but he did. And I have to say one more thing about Brother Bronk's message last night. When he was thinking about an example to use about not using all of your money, he started talking about the father who has a son who has a pair of tennis shoes for $200. He already has two pair. And I had this visceral response, Brother Bronk. I hope he has a job. I hope he has a job. Because if he doesn't have a job, he ain't got $200 shoes. Ask Stephen, he'll tell you. he's got two pairs of $200 shoes. I hope he has a job. I hope he has a job. When I was 10 years old, I joined church. And I say that like that on purpose. Because when I was growing up in the church, you didn't necessarily, they didn't say you accept Jesus. They say you are going to join church. Okay, so I joined church. And I must admit, my joining church was not all altruistic. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I love Jesus. I love going to church. I love being there. I was 10 years old. And the week before, my 8-year-old cousin went up and confessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, and she joined church. And I'm thinking, I'm 10 years old. She's 8. I need to do this. So it wasn't that I had previously thought about this time for me to do it, but my 8-year-old cousin did the week before. Barry was not going to be outdone. Now, I don't know if many of you know that in the church I grew up with, they would always just set a chair in the middle of the floor and say, whosoever will who wants to join church today, come and sit in that chair. And so that was the way that it worked. I was thinking about what to say this morning, because there have been so many wonderful exhortations over the offering this week. And I got to thinking about how much my father loves me. Because if you look at my work history, when I graduated from the University of Tennessee in 1980, I went to work for the Aluminum Company of America. And 2 years later, I was laid off with about 20 engineers, because the economy was just so bad. So then, that was in Arkansas. Then I moved back to the state of Tennessee and went to work in the Department of Human Services. And at the time, Doris and I had Ephraim, and so we needed a little bit more income. And so I left that job and took another one. So that was me. And then I found out with the job that I had, I wasn't making enough money either. And so I started looking for another job. So we're talking about 3 jobs already, and this is before 1984, okay? We never lacked food. We never lacked provision. Because, see, I grew up in a house where my father taught us that we give freely. It's not about us. If we see someone who is in need, and we have the ability to bless them, that's what we did. So I was never without. Okay? I just wanted more. And so I went to work for a technical institute as their communications person, because my degree is in public relations and communications. And so I was there for about 5 years, and I was offered another job at Tennessee Tech, Technological University, which is in Cookeville, Tennessee. And so I was there for about 10 years. And then Doris, who, that's my wife, and most of you don't even know her name is Doris, because I always call her Precious. That's just how I refer to her. So she, during the time we were at Tennessee Tech, went to Vanderbilt University to get her PhD. And so when she had gotten her PhD, the president of Tennessee Tech says, we're going to offer her a job. He didn't. So Barry left and took Doris with him. And so we arrived here in Rice State University. And this was 1996. And so I came here and I worked for the president. And 3 years later, he died. And so because of the position that I was in, the new president wanted to bring in his own person, his own communications person. And so Barry was out of a job. Okay? Didn't lack for anything. God took care of us. So 8 months later, I was offered a job at Head Start, Miami Valley Child Development Center. And so I went to work for them. 2.5 years later, president retired, new president came in. Barry was out of a job. And so I called my dad. I said, you know, Dad, I'm unemployed again. And he said, Barry, is there something wrong with you? You know, of course, that's my dad. He would joke with me like that. And so I said, no, sir, that's just what happened. And I remember the first thing I told Doris. I said, honey, it's going to be all right. God's bank ain't busted yet. God's bank ain't busted yet. And so when I came here to church in 2001, I was not working. And so enrolled in a Bible college. I'm going to wrap this up. And I remember that Saturday when they had the orientation. And see, with the Bible college, you have to do 72 hours a year of practicum. And so I wasn't going to church. I had not gone to church since I had moved to the state of Ohio. And that was been 6 years. I hadn't gone to church. But don't get me wrong. I read my Bible all the time. I studied all the time. But it wasn't until I got into the Bible college that I realized that I was a student of the Bible who didn't know anything. Because my studies, for the most part, was reading books, hearing what other people were saying, and spending less time reading the Bible itself. And so I remember that first Saturday morning when Steve and I came for orientation, and I told Pastor Jim I didn't have anywhere to do practicum. I said, hey, I can teach Sunday school for you. I swear, I kid you not, his eyes were like deer in headlights. Because, see, for those of you who know Pastor, he is going to watch you. He's going to take a look at you to see who you really are, because he's not going to trust you in front of people, in front of his flock. And I did not understand that until afterwards. And I will say this, and I don't think many of us say this enough to our pastors, I love my pastor. And I tell him that from time to time. I also tell Sister Kathy that too. And I know my pastor loves me. There have been a couple of times when I have ministered from the pulpit, but I did not get things exactly right. Okay? So pastor would send me an email and says, Barry, blah, blah, blah here, blah, blah, blah there. He did that twice, maybe three times at least. And if he did not love me, he would not have done that. And so, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. In Colossians chapter 1, and you see Jamie, you have to tell me your name, Danny, and then you have Johan. I have them up here for a reason, okay? And we will get to that. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want to draw your attention to something that I thought was very, very interesting. You see the words made us and the word meet. They're the same Greek word. It means to enable. Okay? So Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says that our Father has enabled us to be able. Let that sink in. Our Father has enabled us to be able. Okay? He has enabled us to be able to be partakers. It wasn't anything that we did. The only thing that we did, we said yes to Jesus. That's all we did. And so our Father enabled us to say yes to Jesus because Jesus died on the cross. And when we did that, then that enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance. Okay? Now, we know that the inheritance includes a lot of different things. But my point in all of this is simply this. Our Father loved us so much that he is the one who made the enabling possible. He did that. And the only thing we did was we just said yes. And we just said, we thank you. We appreciate it. We love you. Thank you for making it possible. And so now that he has enabled us to be able to be partakers of the inheritance, it says in verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. What gave him the ability to deliver us from the power of darkness? He enabled us to be able. He enabled us to be able. That gave him the ability to deliver us from the power of darkness. And then he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. He moved us from one place spiritually to another place spiritually. Why was he able to do that? He enabled us to be able. So I want you to know this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes to giving, giving is not about getting something that you don't already have. God has already enabled you to be able to partake of the inheritance. I'm going to pull a Nathan. Say inheritance. Inheritance. Praise God. And I am so thankful that I go to this church. Because when I first started coming here, I was steeped deep in tithing. It was a root. But over the course of time, over the course of years, I was able to see that tithing, there's a place for it. But I'm a child now. I'm a son. And see, I know how I take care of my children. God is much better at it than I am, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. What I want to do this morning, would you all please stand? What I asked Jamie to do this morning, I have a song that she sings, or she introduced us to, called Good, Good Father. And I want us to hear that song this morning because I want us to realize that when we give this morning, it's not about us giving because we have to do it. We're giving, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a good, good father. And we want to make sure that he can grow his family. Amen? Praise you, Lord. I love that song because it says this, I'm loved by you, and it's just who I am. I am loved by you. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to give this morning. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And Lord, we know that we're just like the child whose father or mother gave them money to buy the gift for the other parent. We're just giving back to you what you've given to us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we are so thankful that we are loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.